Well, I told a brother during the break that in this matter of visitation, probably it's best to not make it into a high-profile project. Saints, we're going to visit you starting August. We're going down the alphabetical list, so just wait for the call. Please don't do this. And don't over-coordinate to death without taking any action. You have a heart to care for people, you go. You don't need to coordinate. You know what I mean. I don't mean we operate in an independent way with no fellowship. That's not what I mean, but you get my point. Sometimes we coordinate matters to death with no action. You just take action, and you make some mistakes. You that's okay. It's your heart that counts. So I give you an assignment here in the training, but when you execute or when you implement, you just go do it with a lot of love, a lot of burden, a lot of prayer, and you will learn in the process how to contact people, and we're going to talk more about this. I hope after these three lessons, you'll be a little bit more equipped to do this. Don't turn this into a thing. Although we are after building up a culture or a habit with the elders who would be people contacting elders. All right. So we come to the next lesson, 56. The purpose. We're coming into a lot of details. I just love these points by Brother Lee. So experiential and so utterly helpful. But they are no substitute for your heart, that heart of love and heart of concern and your interest in people and your burden for their welfare, spiritual welfare. So the purpose of the elders' contact with people, why do we contact people? The elders need to see the purpose of their contact with people. The purpose of the elders' contact with people is to gain people for the increase of the kingdom of God. It is to spread the gospel to get sinners saved, that they may be regenerated for the increase of the kingdom of God. So the purpose is to gain people. Let's just put it very, very bluntly. It is to gain people for God, for the Lord. It is to gain people for the Lord Christ's increase. It is to gain people for the growth of the kingdom. It is plainly why we contact people. We're not just a bunch of humanitarians. We're concerned for humanity. Although that is nothing wrong. There's something in the God-created humanity that cares for his neighbor. You know the word I told you before, philanthropy, you know, or this charitable act of giving to the needy, typically by the more well-to-do. That word comes from philo in Greek, that is love, the highest order of love. Philanthropy, thropy, like anthropology, it's about men. So really, philanthropy is the love of man, the love of mankind. That is the driving force. So we are not talking about that, you know, on a humanitarian kind of a level. We're talking about in the church. We're talking about God's church. We're talking about in the church life with the Lord's followers and believers. We're talking about the members of his body. We're talking about his kingdom. So our burden is to gain people for God's purpose. Even to preach the gospel to save sinners is for that. So when we talk about visitation, brothers, it's not just about just the saints. That's a one area. We have to visit unbelievers with many visits until they believe. This is the solid work. This is the solid work. And of course, please go read the book called The Vital Groups, you know, the last vital group training by Brother Lee. It's the entire book is on shepherding. And Brother Lee would cite cases of the Lord, the Savior himself, visiting all kinds of people in order to cherish them as the Son of Man in his humanity. There's, of course, the nourishing aspect, and some of that will be covered here this morning. But this whole matter of contacting people, which the Lord set the most excellent pattern for us, as God himself incarnate amongst men, that's almost the only thing he did. Besides his teaching, his preaching, the main thing he did was to contact people, oftentimes one by one. One by one. This is the way God works. Shouldn't it be the way we work? The purpose of the elders' contact with people is the feeding and raising up of new members of the body of Christ. So you need to visit unbelievers. You need to visit new and young believers. New and young believers. You might visit a high schooler. My goodness. You'll be shocked. Why is the elder coming? Did I do something wrong? And they will find out eventually, no, there's nothing wrong. You just have a heart for them. Or when you're visiting a family, there's a high schooler there. When I was young, at that age, the high school, junior high age, I was cared for by certain ones, which I cannot forget even until today. Cherishing me, you know, taking me fishing. You know what I mean. The older brothers. He remains with you. They just have the heart. And eventually their heart is not just to go fishing with me. It is to gain me, you see. And today I'm gained, as partly due to their care in that young age of mine. Brothers, this kind of work has eternal value. This kind of work is effective. Don't do the fluffy work, the general work, the routine work. Just make announcements and do the bank account and just do the routine things. No, that's not building up the church. The personal contact with the saints is what builds the church. And if you're not doing it, your church is doing nothing. You know, we have appointments with new ones, the full-timers. But we don't have appointments with our own saints. It's like new ones gets more care than our own people. Now, I'm not saying we should not care for new ones, but we have so much emphasis on new ones. How about our own brothers and sisters who need a lot of care? We need to take care of both. The purpose of the elders' contact with people is the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is, of course, the four steps of the God-ordained way, so-called. To perfect the saints is to train and equip them. It is to perfect them to grow in life and develop their spiritual talents that they may be functioning members of the body of Christ. So Part of our purpose of visiting people is to perfect them. Maybe not visiting them in their home, maybe to spend some time with them apart from their home, to perfect them, to grow and to develop their function. You need to visit this brother because he's quite promising. There's an area that you feel he fits, that he can be useful in. Then you need to spend time to visit him and fellowship with him and give him some perfecting how to come into that kind of a service. That's contacting people with a purpose. The purpose of the elders' contact with people is for the building up of the organic body of Christ through prophesying. It is to help the saints learn how to speak for the Lord, to prophesy, for the building up, for building up the organic body of Christ. So this is the last step, the prophesying. And saint, have you ever been burdened for some saints just on the matter of prophesying? No one cares. We just say, hey, 2 or 3 minutes, prepare. No one does the job of really helping them, coaching them. No one does that. All this is the elders' work. All this is the elders' work. You see how much time it takes? I think even if we spend 40 hours a week, our time would be filled if we do things at this detail level. With this brother, I need to be with him once a week for this. With that, I need to do with this. With that weak one, with that backslidden one, with that new one, my goodness, my hands are filled. Filled. You know, the word consecration related to the priesthood, when they offer up something, that consecration means their hands are filled. That's the meaning of consecration. Of course, in typology, that means our hands are filled with Christ. But aren't these all members of Christ? Our hands would be filled with people. And not just things and matters. People are way more important than things and matters. The elders need to see how they should contact people in order to fulfill the heavenly purpose. Heavenly purpose, brothers. We need transformation for our contact with people. Now, please get these points. These are all wonderful, necessary points. Remember them and even recall them. Okay? I would even put all these sub-points into a card and laminate it and carry it. Every one of us carry it all around. 30 points related to contacting people. Maybe some of you have a burden to do that. You give us all a card next time. If we see what the purpose of our contact with people is, we will realize that we are short in our contact with others. To contact people in this way is not in our thought, habit, or consideration. Therefore, we must be transformed. This word transformation is a very a word unique to the recovery almost. And we talk a lot about it, and we have a certain understanding of that. But in this context, transformation is for contacting people. That means you need to be transformed into one who relates to people, who is approachable, who lives Christ in your contact with people. You have a transformed heart. Before it's a cold one, now it's a hot one. Before it was an indifferent one, now it's a warm one, a hot one. For people, That's transformation. If I don't see this in you, I said, where is transformation? There's no change. To be transformed is to be reconstituted. Therefore, we must present ourselves to the Lord for his reconstituting work. We must be reconstituted to contact people in a proper way. Elsewhere, I gave you my story, I think I did, about how the Lord worked in me. This is in my mid-20s. In this matter, this as an initial transforming work in, or reconstituting work in me specifically, in this matter related to people, because by then I had a measure of transformation or constitution of spiritual things. In my mid-20s, serving, very active, very much for Christ and the church, totally, totally. But in this matter, I have not been transformed. My name has not changed. And so the Lord has to touch me and do something very, very severe with me to break through in me, at least initially, in this matter of concern for people. You may say, after that, I begin to be transformed practically. Yeah? Okay, B. You need to cry to the Lord. You need young brothers. You need to, after a message like this, if I hear a message like this afterwards, I cannot eat or sleep. Trust me. I cannot eat or sleep. I must go to the Lord and desperately plead with him for this transformation. That's what I would have done. That's what I did when I was young. We should not contact people through rebuke or condemnation, a very important point, with any kind of negative spirit, attitude, and tone. And I made this mistake. I'm a nice guy, but Brother Lee told us, rebuking never works. He did a lot of rebuking. In fact, he rebuked me. But he told us rebuking does not work so well. Does not work so well. Especially if we do it in a natural way, with temper, with our flesh, or condemnation. Never go around condemning people, no matter how bad their situation is, even how sinful they are. Does not mean we compromise the holiness of God. That doesn't mean the church should not be sanctified. I don't mean that. We need to deal with certain things, immoralities and sinfulness, and we condemn that in a sense. But we don't go around condemning people if we really have a heart of restoration. It says in Galatians 6, we restore a weak one with meekness and gentleness. A spirit of meekness and gentleness. That's how we recover and restore. With any kind of negative spirit, attitude, and tone. Very important, brothers. Very important. Spirit, attitude, tone. They all come out when you speak. It comes out even in your body language. And people can read it. Negative. Harsh. Unforgiving. condescending. I'm better than you. Brothers, if it's not the Lord's mercy and preservation, we have the propensity to do the worse. You're better. You really are better. You're deluded, brother. You're absolutely deluded to think that you're better. No. To be a good elder, the first thing we must learn is not to rebuke people. You know, Ephesians 6:4 about not what? About the father and the children. Not what? Provoking them. I did mistakenly provoke some saint a couple of times in my serving life. And I reap the results. And I thought I did it gently. But even a gentle rebuke caused problem. We must avoid any negative spirit attitude and tone towards others. Even our listening to people without responding to them properly may offend them. Sometimes you sit there, you say, well, we're here to listen. But your body language tells them, your mind is not there. You're disengaged. You're not really listening. Inside, there's negativity. There's condemnation. There's judgment. They can tell. So even the listening have to be with a positive attitude. Our responding may offend them, but our not responding can also offend. Then you say, what should I do? I don't know what you should do. The only thing I can say is you learn. You learn. Every time almost I contact someone afterwards, it's like I need to go to the Lord to walk through that experience. Where did I do wrong? What can I have done better? You learn. But if you have no heart, you don't care to learn. These are the fine, fine areas of people care. You say, if you have no interest in this, I say, don't be an elder. Just don't. Wasting time. You're wasting time. If you have no heart for this. But I hope, even if you have no heart for this, with a word like this, you will pray for such a heart. That's why it is a good thing, a great thing, to aspire to overseership. Not in the way of authority and position, but in a way of caring for God's people. It's a noble thing. God needs more shepherds. But this kind. In the Old Testament, they have the priests, the elders, and they become the evil shepherds in Ezekiel. They treat God's flock harshly. They let them wander around. And I think there was at least one or two chapters that was rebuking. Talk about rebuke. Jehovah rebuking through the prophet these evil shepherds. That is the elders and priests of Israel. Three, we must be happy persons with a joyful spirit, always humble, mild, and easy to contact. Please note all these adjectives and practice them. Be happy. Doesn't mean you go around clicking your heels. But inwardly, you have that spirit of positivity, of joy. Joy is the best medicine. That means you're a person full of grace. You know, this joy comes from grace. When you're filled with joy, you're full of grace. Grace is with you. And grace heals. Grace is a balm, a heavenly balm. Grace is an ointment. You don't may not say many words, but grace is flowing from you. Humble, mild, and easy to contact. Some brothers, leading brothers, the moment they sit down, it's like a piece of ice sitting on the sofa. You just don't know what to do with them because they are not approachable. They're cold. They're not even sociable. They don't have the social skills. But if you act humble, that comes off as a show and performance as well. That doesn't work. Brothers, learn to be a little bit more easygoing. I don't mean loose. Be easy on people. Make yourself easy, like God, contactable, enterable. We're talking about these pillars, am I right? People can go through you. Are you enterable yourself? Are you passable by others? That all depends on your makeup, on your person. There's a lot to learn here. There's a lot of transformation that has to take place. Mild manner. Not rough, not difficult. And always an element of humility. You are lowly, you know. Lowliness is a characteristic of the Savior. Come to me, for I am meek and what? Lowly in heart, and I will give you rest. In order for the Lord to minister to us, he has to be lowly himself and approachable and easy to contact. Then we can come and find rest. We must realize that what people need is the Lord, and we must be happy with them and try to give them an injection of Christ to dispense Christ into his person. Ultimately, that is our purpose. That is to infuse some Christ into them, because only the Lord can help any one of us. But we need to be happy with them. We need to cherish them in a way that they will roll up their sleeve to get that injection. You know what I'm saying? We must be full of discernment, however. He should discern without criticizing, despising, and judging. You know, those who are discerning, genuinely, they usually fall into the trap of being judgmental. This recent shooting in Dallas, they had a memorial, and the president was there. Our ex-president, George W. Bush, was there, and they all gave a speech. I listened to it a little bit. I'm interested in that. And President Bush, in his short speech, you know, calling for harmony in love, right? Just toss out this statement. It's very, very good. He say, we, just human beings, right? We judge people by their worst behavior. And we judge ourselves by our best intentions. Did you get that? Write that down. We judge people by their worst behavior, and we judge ourselves with our best intention. That's the common problem of a fallen man. We need to discern. Elders, we need to discern. That's another subject. We have to read the breastplate. Am I right? All of that. We need to read. We cannot misdiagnose. But be careful. Beware. When you are discerning people, you don't come across as being critical and judgmental. That's terrible. And that's the hard part. The more you know someone, the more you love that someone. I tell you, that's an impossible thing to do. Look at your spouse. Familiarity breeds contempt. It takes another heart, another person. You think if God knows everything about us, I mean, he said just next on the train to hell, you know. Next, all aboard. Am I right? But instead of that, the one who knows us the best, down to our pores, down to ourselves, decided to love us and forgive us and even to sacrifice for us. Now that's love. See, we need to minister life to others outside of the realm of knowledge of good and evil. Now we're coming to how to minister, how to shepherd, how to care. Outside of the realm of that other tree of good and evil. One, we should not measure others according to right and wrong, nor should we merely help them to distinguish between good and evil. Rather, we should minister life to them to save them out of the realm of the knowledge of good and evil. If you have experience in shepherding, you'll find out most of the cases between two parties is in the right and wrong. Most of the time. How to successfully extricate a person from that tree, from that realm, into the realm of life, I tell you, that's the challenge. It needs so much prayer and so much care. So, but we need to minister life. Learn how to minister Christ. And don't you get dragged into that right and wrong. Very easy to do. Once you get subjectively involved, you're pretty done. You lost your position to help. Okay, two. The best way to contact people is to sense their spirit, to discern what they say in the realm of life. To do this, we must remain in our spirit in the kingdom of life. So it's a big, big learning, and that is to exercise our spirit, to sense their spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, only the spirit of man would know the things of a man. So for us to have a certain level of discernment and sense of where people really are, even their spirit and their psychology, we ourselves need to be in the spirit. And we ourselves need to be in the realm of life all the time. Otherwise, we will be pulled into the wrong tree. And rather than helping to solve problem, we became part of the problem. Three, if we are in our spirit full of life, we'll be full of discernment, but we will have no criticizing, despising, or judging. We'll simply minister life to those we contact. Not easy. Really not easy. D, we need to be full of love, concern, and sympathy in a meek and humble spirit, and with the full realization that what the people need is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And what can solve that problem is to meet with the Lord. Now, this is a big, big one. We're not therapists. We're not counselors. We're not psychiatrists, and don't try to play that. We're just here servants, serving ones, leading ones in the church life. We don't bring, you know, our smart self-help, something, 8 points we just read on the internet and go visit the saints. Please forget about that. I'm not saying some of those things are worthless. That's not what I'm saying. But that's not what we're talking about here. I tell you, over these years of my learning, I have to get into the realm of psychology. I have to. Because so many cases is in that kind of a realm. But that should never be my trust. The trust is always in the Lord. Only the Lord can help, ultimately. And the only way to solve any problem is to meet with the Lord, and sometimes certain situations are unresolvable, and don't be the hero here. Don't try to be the hero, because even professionals cannot resolve it. You can pray. We do our part. The saints cannot be helped by us unless we have a real love, concern, and sympathy for them in the Lord. Only a reconstituted person can be like this. That means a built-up person can be like this. Love, concern, and sympathy. I use one word for all of this. It's called compassion. You know, this time in the summer training, you know, God, Jehovah, came to Moses in the mountain and took some time to tell Moses what kind of God he was. And we have that second message, right? To know God and to know the ways of God. I tell you again and again, Jehovah said, I am the God of compassion. He's righteous. No doubt about that. He's holy. But he is primarily a God of compassion and love, and of long suffering. Otherwise, brothers, we won't stand a chance. Oh, may this God reconstitute us. It's not a joke. This is not some talk. How we need this God to be built into us, and how much we need to live out this God, this compassionate one, in our care for people. If we are full of Christ, we will be reconstituted persons full of love and concern, sympathizing with the people, persons we contact, because they are short of Christ and having a real concern to minister Christ to them. Three, regardless who comes to us, we should wait for a chance to minister Christ to them. During the recent training, a very, very serious matter developed. And even though I have to give the messages in private, I have to tend to this situation, these saints. My goodness, it wrung every drop of energy from me just to take care of this situation because it's so serious. And I gave the testimony in one of my messages about praying, that's related to this situation. But eventually I have to sit down with the saints in a private way to minister something to help. I tell you, I thank the Lord that I have some experience, cumulative from many years. Without that, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did. And thank the Lord. At least in that instant, there was a positive outcome. I still have to follow up, but at least in that instant. What to say, what not to say, when to say, my attitude, my heart, my tone, you know, all these things are all just put on the test right there in one moment. Brothers, learn. I have no other suggestion, but you learn humbly. Don't think you know what you're doing. Don't think you can do this. It takes many years of learning, making mistakes and learning. But if your heart is there, the Lord will train you. And of course, we learn from one another as well. I tell you, you have to be so laser like in your discernment, because if you're off by a centimeter, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different advice, and it may be the wrong advice. So it's much fear and trembling with the Lord's help and the instant anointing. So, brothers, my point is learn. Don't think you know what you're doing. Just like some doctors, 1 minute later, they start writing the prescription for you already. Before they even have fully diagnosed you. Okay, let's go on. Regardless who comes to us, we should wait for a chance to minister Christ to them. I tell you, brothers, this matter of waiting for the time, the right time to say certain things, all that requires so much skill, so much experience. E, we should contact people not to convince, catch, or arrest them, but to recover and bring them back to the Lord. We catch and arrest people by convincing them that they are wrong. We recover people by bringing them back to the Lord. The best way to get others out of the snare of the realm of good and evil is not to touch good and evil, but to minister Christ's life to them. I like this last three words, through the cross. So here is the point. Sometimes we can get into a modus operandi, the elders, this zeal to protect the house of God or something like that. We go around playing the policeman. We go around catching, arresting people. No, we should not be doing that. People may be wrong, but we don't go around doing that. We have to be very, very careful. Our heart is always to recover, and that recovery requires the proper spirit and the proper way. Yes, the elders should, the proper elders should command respect from the saints. That's right. The Bible teaches that. Attitude towards the leading ones in Hebrews. But the elders should not become like the police that the saints are scared of. Do you know what I mean? There's that those kind of situations where they're just trembling. They dare not call a hymn because when they call him, they got smacked. No. I've seen that. Please, I have seen that. Smacked. Eventually, no one dared to do or say anything. Only the elder knows what's right. And he controls and dominates. That family will not flourish, trust me. Fear rules rather than love. F, we should shepherd the saints by contacting them repeatedly. We must have the experience of Christ as life so we will know how to help others. We should contact others several times and not be hasty in helping them. You see, the timing, the long-suffering, the waiting, the patience. Three, eventually we will be able to minister Christ to them, help them to contact the Lord, pray for them with them, and bring them to the Lord in prayer. For someone to be gained by the Lord, we have to go to them possibly for 1 or 2 years, and that is very, very fast. Repeated contact, not just once in a blue moon, not once and for all. Repeated contact. How blessed are those saints in a church where the leading brothers would repeatedly contact them for their welfare. Don't be nosy, I say again. Don't do that. Just be just right, not too much, not too little. Learn to make the saints happy. Yes, you heard me right. For 1 or 2 years, so don't do some quick thing. Do something ordinary, but consistent. And don't just, this visitation is not just for those who are problematic, then I visit them. No, we visit everyone. Sometimes the most promising are the ones who are most needy, because they need a way to go on further, to be more useful. patience is the highest virtue in caring for people. Patience. It will wear your patience out, let me tell you, if you really are doing this. We should not carry out a social work, but minister Christ as life to people. We must consider whether a certain case will waste our time. There are those cases. If the Lord has entrusted us with many people, we should stay out of complicated involvements. That's a very, very good advice. Don't get yourself involved in saints' complicated lives. We must realize that the best and only effective way to gain people for the Lord's purpose is to minister Christ to them. Brotherly, speak this repeatedly, is to minister Christ to them. We give practical help. I'm not saying we don't. We give many kinds of help to the saints, but always, always with the underlying purpose to minister Christ. H, we must avoid superiority complex, that's on us. Argument, offense, or any form of humiliation. We should not care for our status, nor feel that we're better than the one with whom we speak. That's to be condescending, patronizing. None of this should come out of us. Never argue. For example, even I ran into a certain saint recently in my church who proceeded to correct me and say, Brother Minoru, no one will say this to you. I'm going to state it to you because I'm honest. You said this. It doesn't work. You should have said that. And he was going on and on with me for minutes on end. And you know, naturally, what my inward reaction was. It would be something like this, Brother, shut up. You don't know what I'm doing, which is the truth, by the way. But the whole time, I just felt, I just have to listen. And I say, thank you, brother. Thank you. I learned a lot from your sharing today. Thank you. I was not playing politics. No, I wasn't. I'm there, not there to please man. I'm not doing that either. But I was restricted by the Lord. If I get into an argument with him, I lose the case instantly. I pray for him. I have no status. Who are you? You know who you're talking to? A co-worker. Brothers, a lot to learn. That's my point. A lot to learn. Yeah? We must always remember well that the church is not a police station or a law court, and that we are not the policemen or judges. We're simply not. So just take off those uniforms, okay? When we go to a person, we should not talk about what they have done, but take the opportunity to minister life and light to them. Then they may be enlightened by the Lord to go home to repent to the Lord. Love blinds people. However, when our eyes gain their sight, our love diminishes. Only the blind elders are the real helpers. I think this is quite clear. The church is not a law court. The church is not a police station. And we're not people working there as judges and or police officers. We just minister according to the situation and help them to receive some light. And the more we learn about people, our love, hopefully, will not diminish as a result. We still love them blindly, full of discernment, but blindly. J, we should minister Christ to meet the need of all kinds of people. We should minister Christ to everyone, the stronger ones, the overcoming ones and the defeated ones, the weaker ones, those with a good background and those with a bad background. We must be the same toward every person. You know, I grew up in a good family, a good Chinese ethical family. So I don't have much of that bad life experience. You understand what I mean. There's no drugs, there's no all this craziness and so on. But the Lord knows. Just in these years, I'm just thrust into the vileness of situations, the darkest of cases, and of persons even. Broken people. You understand what I mean? Psychologically broken. Morally broken. But these are brothers. These are sisters. What do you do? What do you do? How do you minister Christ to such? You know, I told my wife, with nothing phases me anymore. You know, you bring a case to me like this is bad. I've seen worse already. You know, by the way, let me say something. When you realize we have even this kind of people in the church, you can get very cynical about the church. And keep your heart, brothers. The church is God's house. But there is a church in Corinth. Am I right? The church is not this paradise. The church is not utopia. The church is full of fallen men. Brother Lee said the church in Corinth is a normal local church. You can, after all of this, you become cynical. No, no. In the eyes of God, how beautiful are the tents of Jacob. Never speak negative about the church. In fact, in spite of all of this, you love the church even more. And you love the saints even more, regardless of their condition. Of course, we have to render them certain help they need to turn, to repent, to change. Of course, we do that. But in the end, even that is not in our hands. We must have universal love, brothers. We must seek a way to get people to open to us. This is not easy. You have to find the way. We must find the proper utterance to touch people's spirit. You know, words is powerful. Words can raise, build, or destroy a person, a family, a society, a nation. Make sure we use the right words, utterances, when we talk to people. We must catch the proper time to dispense Christ either with a quotation from the Bible or a word of our inspiration. But please don't go around quoting Bible. Usually that is not very effective. But at the right time, with just the right word from the Lord through his instant anointing, I tell you, can just heal, can just turn. So we do need to know the word, but in a living way. Five, we must stir up people's hunger and thirst to seek the Lord by praying with them. Always do your best to pray with people. You know, stirring up people's hunger and thirst for the Lord is a big part of shepherding. Someone who have zero heart, you stir them up to have some heart. Those who have some heart, you stir them up to have a even a bigger heart. That requires also skill and care. Six, we should not expect that our ministering Christ to others will cause them to have a rapid change. Care only to minister Christ, not for quick results. Leave the results to the Lord. We just minister and pray. You know, talking about a word at the right moment, is it Isaiah, am I right? Morning by morning, you know, open my ear and give me the tongue of a learned one. That I may, what? Know how to, what? Sustain a weary one with a word of the of season, a seasonal word. I don't know how many times saints, some saints would come to me, Brother Minoru, do you remember X years ago, you said that during a meal. I said, really? I don't even remember a meal. Sometimes I don't even remember you. And he said, oh, she, that word changed my whole life. I have no intention to change lives. I was just having a meal, you know, just responding maybe to a question. I don't know. I don't even remember that. You see, brothers? Eventually, people will be gained by the Lord through our contact. Let's read that line. Eventually. Amen. Will you go do it, brothers? Not just as assignment from me, but because you want it. Because now you are taking some lead in the church. And this you must do. And if you don't have a heart like this, I would say this is the time to ask. The time to ask. I ask the Lord, and he'll more than answer my prayer. A heart for people, that's what I mean. Not just a heart for the Lord, but a heart for people. The Lord answer my prayer. Amen? All right. I don't know what to do. Maybe, what time do we end this session usually? About now? Right about now. Okay. So we have a break now? 20 minutes? How about right now it's 11:45? What is it? 47. How about we come back in 20 minutes? All right? Okay, let's have a break. Amen.